Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event, able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Superhero Speak, and I'm your host Dave.
And I'm still sick.
And as promised, here is the first of our mini episodes from New York Comic Con. We have two interviews for you this day.
Wait a minute, you're not even going to let me say my name, even though I sound like I've smoked three packs a day now?
So go ahead, say your name for the people so they feel happy.
I'm John, and I have this weird itch under my shoulder now. It just gets worse every day. I don't know what it is. Con crud. It's a thing, dude.
You'll survive. Don't worry. The first interview we're going to give the people here, you interviewed Gateway Comics. They had a book about a cybernetic bounty hunter.
Yes, Max Hunter. They also have other titles like Primal and Gargoyle Girl. So it's another independent outlet, another producer or publisher, and they had a booth there, and I walked by, and they have some really good artists, it would seem, and the premises of their comic book sounded really interesting. So I stopped by and had a chat with them.
And here it is.
All right, this is John from Superhero Speak, and I am sitting here talking to...
My name is Alex Lobato from Gateway Comics.
And what do you do, Alex?
Well, I'm a creator / writer for Gateway Comics, amongst a team of other creators and writers that we got together and said, you know what, let's do what we love. And that's what we started to do. We started to create comic books.
And so what kind of comics? Because every time I stopped by this booth and I saw you guys at, Wizard World PhillyCon, the Sabbaty Bunny always gets me because it's just, I find it funny. I don't know why. But what kind of comics have you created? What is your what's your genre and what are your characters?
Well, we have several genres. The one I wrote is called Max Hunter. When we got together, we decided we wanted to create a world that was sci-fi, that had a mix of sci-fi and superheroes put together. So we made Gateway City, and that's a city that revolves around our world, sort of like a Sin City. And that's where our comic book company's name came out to, the Gateway Comics. And the one I wrote is called Max Hunter. He's a cybernetic bounty hunter, and he's going after his latest bounty when an assassin, Vincent Snow, gets in his way. So our first comic book of Max Hunter, it tells the whole story of this bounty hunter versus assassin set in the future.
That sounds awesome. Did you get started in comics? Are you like a literature major or something? How did you get to this point?
Well, it was a friend. Actually, I'm a teacher. And so at the school I was working at, the PE coach was an artist. And he got together with me and asked me, hey, you know, I want to draw a comic book. And I said, well, I have a character from my role-playing game with my friends that we used to play Shadowrun that I would love to make into a character because he's just so lively and so amazing. So we did it. He drew him up. It started with that one sketch. And from there, it turned into a world that we build. And that was really the fun part of this, yeah.
So you did this while you had a day job, I guess? Or?
Oh, I still do this while I have a day job. Still a teacher.
Oh, yeah. So do you teach writing too? If you're a teacher, it would seem like that would be a nice, easy thing to do.
Well, I used to teach. Let me say that. Now I'm in administration. So I do a lot of different things for the school. Every time that I'm with the kids, I try to throw in a little bit of writing tips and such.
How hard was it to get to the point where it was actually a product sitting on a table at New York Comic Con 2016?
It took a while. It took a couple of years. The first year that we started, it was just world building, you know, coming up with the characters, coming up with what we wanted out of Gateway City and the characters that would come out of Gateway Cities like Max Hunter. So it started there. Then the story was built. It was storyboarded. We looked for artists. We found the perfect artist for the story. From that point, we kickstarted it. We were successful in the Kickstarter. And that led us down the road to many conventions that finally brought us here to New York Comic Con. This is actually our second year here in New York Comic Con. It's been rough in the sense of it's a lot of work and it's all passionate work. So you love it. You love every minute of it.
And you're not the first person that I've heard speak about getting their start through Kickstarter. Was that something that you decided to do because you needed the money and that was an easy way to do it? How did you generate enough interest in it through the Kickstarter?
Well, actually, we went with Kickstarter not for the funds as much. I mean, we needed the funds, that's for sure. It's a very costly business, especially when you're dealing with artists. They're wonderful, but you do have to pay them, you know. Mostly, we did it for momentum and exposure. We wanted people, even if we failed, to have at least seen our comic book and tell us, you know, what they thought and such. And it was successful. It didn't fail, which was always a bonus. And from there, it's just we try to kickstart, you know, different comic books and the ideas that we come out with to build our world, because it really is awesome. I recommend it to every independent creator. It's just a great way of building a fan base, because the fan base is already there searching for new things, that thirsting for new things to read and new worlds to invest in. So it really is a great gateway to comics.
I see what you did there. Okay. All right, you got through Kickstarter, you found your artists and everything. How are you finding a fan base? Are you finding that you're building a fan base now? Do people come up and actually recognize it? Have you seen any cosplayers yet?
Well, we have had people come up and ask for, you know, what's new in the Max Hunter world or what's new in the Gateway Comics world. It's not our only comic book. We've joined forces with many different creators, which is something that we really want to do in Gateway Comics. If someone has an idea and wants to create a comic book, we want to help them without any kind of, you know, any cost or anything like that. We just want to help them get started, because it was rough for us to get started without help. And it's so much easier when someone kind of guides you and tells you, hey, do Kickstarter. Hey, this is how you go. This is the printer that will be most cost efficient. And this is the artists that you should meet if you're a writer. And these are the writers that you should meet if you're an artist. So we really wanted to take that route when we build the Gateway Comics company. So we have Max Hunter. We have Primal Jungle Warrior, which is like a Tarzan tale of Primal, who is protecting the jungle from environmentalists. People who seek to destroy the environment, rather. And then Ultra Vixen, who is a satire of a superhero story, kind of like Superman. If Superman were a female and hot, how would people react to being saved and such? And it's really funny, actually. And then those were created by Marcelo Bravo. Cover of Primal was done by Tim Vigil, who's an amazing artist and one of the legends in that comic book world. And then we have Gargoyle Girl and Redux by Proxy that were just successfully kickstarted. Gargoyle Girl is almost completed. Redux by Proxy was just completed, actually, this weekend. Our letterer sent us the final copy of our comic book just last night. So we're going to be sending that out to our Kickstarters. And that one is about a really interesting story about a Gateway City scientist who goes to his murder victims, and transfers their memories into an android. And then that android has 7 days to solve their own murder before they relive their death and shut down. Yeah, it's called Redux by Proxy, and you'll find it in our next convention, and you'll find it on Comixology soon as well.
Nice segue. What are your next conventions?
Our very next one is the end of October. We're bunking with Richard and Stabity again, and we're going to be doing Tampa Bay MegaCon.
Excellent. Okay, down to Florida with you. All right, we like to end these things with a question. How do you measure success?
through happiness. If I'm happy doing what I'm doing, then I'm successful.
Well, you sound like a very happy man at this point. Well, thank you very much for taking the time, and good luck with Sunday, because Saturday's just about ended now. And yeah, hope to see you again at the next few cons here around the Philly area.
It was a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity.
Anytime, man. All right, thank you.
Oh, John, you're growing up so fast.
Yeah. Well, I have to improve on my interview. How I interview people, because I'm really not good with the. I'm sure everybody's already sick of hearing me go and so, and I'll work that out
one of these days.
But but I'll tell you, it really was fun to listen to some of these guys describe their trips down, getting these new comic books and houses just built. These guys used Kickstarter. This wasn't the first, nor was it the last time that I heard about somebody using Kickstarter to get their comic book off the ground.
No. I mean, it's quite common. I mean, we've had many independent creators on here that have used Kickstarter. It's it works out well for some, doesn't work so well for others. But if you've got a good book and you've got good PR to reach people, it's a good way to raise money.
Mm. And also, you get lucky and find an artist that you can trust and that's willing to work with you. And you're going to hear it in the upcoming interviews how it just seems like putting together a comic book is a kind of marathon that you have to run. That term's actually used a lot. And finding people to work with you is also fun. Like, if you're an artist, it's hard to find a writer. If you're a writer, it's hard to find an artist, and then you got to find somebody to publish it. But for the most part, these guys, they did it. They're there. They've got comics on the tables, and they were selling pretty darn well.
Yeah, well, that's good. This next interview, I actually told you to go out and get it. Again, not trying to be a taskmaster, but it's Esteban. Say his last name.
Salinas. I believe it's Salinas.
he's actually a friend of Greg's. And what was interesting is he came to the show. So what happens, people, just so you know, sometimes you might hear an artist is coming to a show and he doesn't show up. And you think, oh, they canceled at last minute. But one of the things that's been happening, especially bigger shows like New York, San Diego, and Chicago, is they have people who sublet their booths. Like, they buy 4 or 5 tables and they resell it to people. So they're making a little bit of money off of their table sale. And
yes, that's right. That's right. There are scalpers for the tables as well as for the tickets.
But sometimes these guys end up being jerks and falling through at the last minute. And that's unfortunately something that happened to Esteban. But I have to say, the people at New York Comic Con, the staff, actually came through and helped him out and got him a spot for Thursday and then Saturday and Sunday. So he was able to, meet his fans and sell some of his artwork. And and I'm sure he told part of that story to John here. So without much further ado, here is Apple Illustration.
This is John O'Grady at Superheroes Speak, and I am speaking with
Esteban Salinas.
And you are an
artist. I've been doing this for art for all my life, but quote unquote professionally, kind of going to conventions for about a year now, a little bit more than over a year.
Hey, have you been an artist all your life, or did you fall into it? Did you go to college for it? How did you make?
I'd been drawing since I was a kid, but I really got serious about it. Basically, going into college, I got a degree in game art and design, so learning 3D modeling, animation. But I really fell in love with the concept design portion of it. So mainly designing characters, scenery, and then I got to touch with Photoshop and I fell in love with it. So I kind of just went in that array. So just design, drawing, I've really gravitated towards more.
Excellent. And I guess you must enjoy it because your art is very distinctive. We'll have images of his art along with this video cast on our website. But it seems like it's a very dark, I wouldn't say Monet. I mean, what kind of style is it that you do?
I really enjoy traditional artwork, and I started doing that, but I think it's more of like a splatter, kind of gritty, darker tone. I like taking bright characters, like I have a Mega Man and all these were really well-known characters, and I like doing a darker spin on it and using their my colors and palettes to really try to bring out their character in the paint. I like to use their silhouettes. I like to use their iconic poses and bringing life to it, kind of in a different light, really.
Well, and then you get the darker characters like the Joker that looks like he's going to jump off there and throttle somebody. So I heard that you had a bit of a hard time trying to get to the con. You can tell me as much as you want.
All right.
Okay. But it may be interesting for other people to see what it takes to actually get to and get set up for the New York Comic Con, because this is, you can't say it's a well-oiled operation because it's just too big.
Right.
But, you know, there are things that happen, and I think the story would be interesting.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like I said, I've only been doing this for about a year, actually going to cons. So financially, it's very tough to get started in something like this, because you have to have enough work for it to really be, I think, wide enough where you want to hit a certain type of audience. But then also, you have to buy paper. You have to get the table for the booth. Obviously, it's priority number one, and that cannot be cheap sometimes. And you're looking at equipment, lights, displays. So it's very hard to financially get started. So I didn't have the money to go to bigger cons. But when I finally did, I wasn't able to go through, let's say, like bigger Read Pop or like convention scenes and contact the right people. So somebody offered me a booth at New York Comic Con. I won't name any names, but so I paid him a certain amount of money. Did you want to say something?
I was going to say, we might have to take an NPR minute here because you're being paged. She was holding up the square.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Sorry.
I'll play the Jeopardy theme here.
Do you want to restart or do you want to keep going? Okay. All right. Sorry. Okay. Really sorry about that. But yeah, so I accepted this offer for a booth because I knew I wasn't going to have any chance. Basically, these bigger conventions like New York Comic Con, C2E2, San Diego, you have to jump on these booths like as soon as registration is available. And a lot of the times, if you don't get it within the first day or two, that's it. Like you're blocked out. It's every major artist in the country is trying to gun for these positions. So it's kind of hard. And so I had no other option. I was like, okay, well, this guy's offering me this booth. I'll take it. So I bought new paper, totes, lights, spent a good amount of money getting prepared. Transportation to get my stuff too, because I'm from Chicago and New York it's quite a bit away. I take off time from work, and I get a message as I land saying that, oh, the booth that I sold you, unfortunately, I have to take it back because my other booth fell through, so I'm sorry. As I land, and so I'm sitting here worried, like, did I just spend all this money for nothing? How am I going to get my stuff around? Am I even going to be able to get into the con? Because who knows if this guy even has my badges anymore. So I'm sitting here freaking out, like, and then luckily I was able to get my badges that at least that I paid for, but at the same time he wasn't going to give me a booth and I was really stressing. So I have yet to get my money back from that aspect, but luckily I was able to work with the wonderful people here at Read Pop who run New York Comic Con and C2E2 back in Chicago, and they were very helpful, very sympathetic, and they were able to help me out, and at least I got to vent for a few days. So that makes it all the worthwhile. I wasn't over here for nothing. So basically, moral of the story is try to go through the actual appropriate people to get yourself a booth. That's, I guess, what I have to take away from this whole experience.
And this is a very large place for the Artist Alley. It's an extremely large, like, hangar-type area.
Yes.
I didn't know that there is that much contention to get the individual booths here. In fact, although I've heard this weekend that, you know, even if you want to like spread out and get two booths, it's almost impossible.
It's nearly impossible, yeah, because especially them knowing, like the officials here knowing that how tough it is for people, they really try to limit one person getting multiple booths. And basically they're trying to stop monopolization, people with more money that are able to basically sublet booths for that specific reason. They want everybody to basically have a fair fighting chance. If this one person, Big Shot, has the money, he could buy 10 booths if he wanted to and then jack the price up, and basically scalping booths is what they're trying to do. So they're putting it in motion to stop that from happening. So, I mean, but it slips through the cracks. They obviously can't get everything. Oil, like you said, it's a big machine and there's always things that are going to slip through. So, I mean, if something does approach you with that, I'd recommend staying away from it. You never know who they are, and go through the appropriate people to get a booth. And if not, try next year, get know when the date is for registration, kind of get your ducks in a row and try to get it done the right way, because it's a no fail safe on a lot of these types of things.
Okay. On a happier note, you got from, you know, learning how to draw and all this and coming up with a very distinct art style to here. Do you have any recommendations or advice for kids trying to get into this kind of field and what to expect?
I'd say the key to becoming really successful in not only the con business, but like any sort of trying to build a brand for yourself is try to be different. Think outside the box, because I've gotten probably countless comments on saying that they love this like different take on like I said, I have a Mega Man and you see him in this always red, bright blue colors, and I did him in a darker tone and he looks more of a villain, but you know he's not a villain, so it's very different. So people, when you come to a Comic-Con, you see a million Supermans, you see a million Batmans, you see all these different things, but the key is to try to be different but yet effective in that way, and that's what's really going to draw people in. So try to think outside the box, try to just execute a well-known character differently. Try to make it your own, I think is what I'm trying to say.
Do you still find it fun after all the stuff that you had to go through?
Oh, God, yes. Yes. If I would have known ahead that I had to do what I had to do, if going through the headache, the emotional roller coaster of not knowing if I was going to vent, but yet how it ended, I would have done it all over again. It's completely worth it.
Very good. We like to end these things with a question. How do you measure success?
When you wake up in the morning, you don't, when you go to work or you sit at your desk, you're going to do what pays you if you don't mind doing it. If you wake up in the morning, you don't feel like you have to go to work. That's, I think, true success. Money, it has nothing to do with it. You could be, if you've always wanted to be a fry cook at McDonald's, but if that's truly what you want to do, you're a success. Success is eye of the beholder. If you are doing what you set out to do and you're hitting your goals, doesn't matter how small they are, you're a success. That's just how it comes down to.
It sounds like a very good piece of advice. All right. Thank you for taking the time for talking with us. And I'm glad you got your booth. I came by, you know, earlier this afternoon and it was packed three deep. So obviously you've got a good fan base here, and good luck for tomorrow.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure talking with you and the listeners.
All right. I think that was a good one, John.
Yeah, it's nice that it ended up well for them.
Yes, yeah. And the staff at New York Comic Con, they've always been great to Greg. They've always been great to me. I mean, I worked at New York Comic Con even before I worked with Greg there. They're really good people. So it's been the same people for a long time. So yeah, thumbs up, hats off to those guys. So that's it for this mini episode, everyone. And as always, thanks for listening. Don't let your cape get caught in the door.